Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? I almost tried to hand you guys another clipboard just to see how hard you would laugh. But we are in Ephesians chapter 4 today. Pretty excited about the assembly. Very encouraged. Looking forward to the message. Okay. So anybody recall the title of the message from last week? Do you guys even look at that? Yeah, no Christ. So, the title of the message today, Know Who You Are in Christ. What's the title of the message next week? Know Your Purpose. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, So this I say, and confirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord, that these things are so. That being that we have heard you and have known you, and rather to be known by you, that you dwell in us, Lord, that we are not like the world that's carried away by every desire and every enticement, but that we should renew our mind, renew it, remembering the old man, gone, new man created by you, with a new potential and a new purpose. Next week, we look at that purpose. But Lord, a reminder today, there is a great need to renew the mind. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm never going to get tired of saying it. How important is your mindset? I mean, even in my own life, I'm like, okay, the brain thinks that it should worry about something. So then the heart rate increases, the blood pressure rises, and then now that my brain can feel the heart racing, it says, wait, there really is something wrong because my heart's racing. So now it says, okay, now we should be really worried. So then it just tells the brain, uh-oh. And now you're in this endless cycle and all you did was fix your mind on a single thought instead of take it captive. That's all anxiety is. It's thinking the same thought over and over and over again and not replacing it with a different one. Renew the mind. We're going to talk today about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. If you cannot, I mean, you could spend years preaching these messages. A part of me was a little discouraged because it's like I can't hit nearly any of all the stuff that I want to. But if you're going to think about this and preach this message, you must focus on the mind. You must focus on where it is set and on renewing it. Wanted to bring out a story here that you've heard before. The first recorded mile competitively was in 1860. So, you know, roughly 160 years ago. I mean, I'm sure people have been running for a long time, but the first recorded competitive, we went outside and Bob ran against Jane and we recorded it was in 1860. 4 minutes, 30 seconds. That's pretty fast. Nobody would think it would be possible to run a mile under 4 minutes, including scientists, doctors, and sports physiologists. They said, it's not possible. It would stay that way till 1954 when Roger Bannister did it in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. You know the story. But I want to show you something here. If the first recorded mile is in the 1800s and it's not broke under 4 minutes till 1954, that means that for nearly 100 years, nobody did it. Zero. From the first recorded competitive saved mile till someone actually going sub four, zero people over the course of 90 years did it. Okay? How many people do you think, since someone did it in the following 70 years, have done it?
Thousands.
And I believe that number is somewhere pushing 2,000. 1,700. Do you see the point of the story? Look, you could give Roger all the credit in the world for his determination and his growth mindset and his faith, if you will, in being able to do something that all the experts said is not physiologically possible. There's a story in there. But what's more of a story is because they said it's not possible, zero people did it in the span of 100 years. And as soon as someone did it, 1,700 of them in the next 70 years pulled it off. And the only difference was they thought they could. They now know it's possible. Now, there's a great new creation message there, and that's not necessarily the point. Whole point of the message this morning, mindset. How powerful. 100 years, people did not have the mindset that they could do it. Did they do it? No. The next 70 years, everybody now knowing it's possible? Thousands. I think that is so cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we got to renew the mind. Slowly becoming one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. And not because we can behold the glory of the Lord, although that is true. But the beginning part of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 4 says, "Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And then the context of this chapter really kicks in. But it starts with this line. We are not adequate in and of ourselves. Our adequacy comes from God. And it says, He made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. I think this is foundational. I think this is key to understanding who you are in Christ. Adequacy. Adequate. When I hear the word adequate, my brain tries to figure out what does that mean? How would I use it in a sentence? What's an example? And when I think of adequate, I think of all the scenarios where I wasn't adequate to fulfill the task. Maybe I didn't have the knowledge or an ability or the talent. There's a communication there with adequacy. Adequate means able to fit the bill, right? There is a skill set, a value, an understanding, a fullness. It's adequate. It's enough. Well, no wonder this is foundational to knowing who we are in Christ. Our worth, our value, whether or not we got the stuff to get the job done, is given to us by God. That's where your mindset has to go. If you don't have that picture, I can talk about redemption. I can talk about kingdom citizenship. I can talk about forgiveness and love, the new creation, and none of it will stick until every one of us fully understands we got what it takes to perform the task that is at hand because God has made us adequate. He has given us His Spirit. Let's think about this for a minute, okay? Who are we in Christ? That's an identity statement, right? Okay. So, identity. Does God love you? Is His love enough for you? Is God your helper? Is He your father, your companion? Is He not ashamed to call you brethren? Is that enough? Is God enough? See, we are not adequate in and of ourselves. Our value, our worth, our identity comes from God. So let's explore that for a second, okay? Is God's love enough? What do you think? Could you have the love of God and it be enough in this life? It's supposed to be. What about His approval? What about His friendship? What about His grace? His mercy? His forgiveness? Is God enough? Because I gotta tell you, from me to you, the past couple years of my life have been God teaching me He's enough. Because He's probably getting a little tired of me relying on myself. And maybe He's getting a little tired of some of you relying on others. Who are you in Christ? See, this is really important because if God's love is enough, then you can live in fullness of that adequacy and you don't have to have it coming in from anywhere else. Now, it's pretty great when it does, right? But that's the order it has to go in first. It has to be God's love is enough. And then the love of the brethren that controls us, that's when it actually works. But if our focus, if our value, if our happy meter, if our approval rating, if our anxiety is contingent on the love of people or the approval of people or the forgiveness of people, we are in trouble. God has to be enough. He's the one that's made you valuable, worthy, able to fulfill the covenant, able to be the minister of the covenant, Paul says to the Corinthians. He's given that to you. It's got to be enough. So you wake up in the morning, you're not feeling the love of the world. It's growing cold. You're not getting the forgiveness from your brother. You're not getting the approval from the family member. And you can still stand with confidence and faith and hope because God. He's enough. Amen? That's the picture. And when you have that, how easily derailed are you by the distractions around you? The disappointments, the lack of forgiveness, the lack of love, the cruelty, the insults, the gossip, whatever it is. You don't get derailed by that. Does it need to be addressed? You bet. But it doesn't derail you. Why not? Because your identity is in God. It is not in people. Saw a movie clip one time, and I think it's so, so important. This guy's wife signs him up at the church to go to the hospital and visit people who are sick. So He's having an identity crisis because he has allowed being a basketball coach to shape his identity. His son is a senior. This is the year they're going to win the championship. They have all the returning players. They're better than any team in their league. We've been fighting for this our whole life. And I can relate to this. I started playing basketball when I was 4 years old, competitively when I was seven. And my whole life had built up to when I was 18 at the state tournament in Missoula. And in that moment, I'd tell you, my whole life has led me to this moment. I look back on that, I'm like, boy, I wish I had a little more emphasis on Jesus when I was a kid. Really thankful for the congregation and the Christian school where those values are being instilled. So, well, the city does some rezoning and all the good players on his team have to go to a different school. And now there's nobody on the team that can win a championship. They actually have they rezone to where he doesn't even have enough boys to play basketball and they cancel the whole season. So he's just in the backyard, you know, trying to do yard work to keep himself busy, but he's biting his wife's head off and yelling at the kids. His whole world's crumbling because his identity is what? He's a basketball coach, and it just got stripped from him. Do you guys see the power of this? If your identity is in God and he's enough, you can strip everything away and you're still okay. That's identity. That's knowing who you are in Christ. So he kind of begrudgingly shows up to the hospital, gets assigned this guy who's blind and dying, lying in the hospital bed. And so he's sitting there kind of half going through the motions, but he's a nice guy. So he's trying to be really nice. And so the patient ends up kind of encouraging him because he can, isn't that amazing? The one who's blind and dying ends up having to encourage the guy that came to encourage him because he can tell his spirits are in the dumps. And he says, well, can I ask you a question? If I said, who are you? What would you say? And his answer was, I'm a high school basketball coach. And he said, okay, let's strip that away. Who are you? He said, I guess I've never thought of that before, but I suppose I'm a high school history teacher. Okay? And let's say that got stripped away. Who are you? He said, well, I suppose I'm a father. Okay? And he said, God forbid that should ever be stripped from you. He's like, I'm a husband. Okay? And God forbid that should ever be stripped. And he's like, well, I don't really. And he's starting to get frustrated, right? Well, I don't really understand the point of this. And he said, look, I'm trying to show you something. You came in here the week before and you told me you'd pray for me. Did you? And he said, no, I didn't. He says, who are you? He goes down a few more things. And then finally at the end, he says, well, if all those things are gone, I suppose I'm a Christian. He says, for a man professing to be a Christian, you're sure acting like one that isn't. Identity. Know who you are in Christ. I think our adequacy in the Lord is foundational to understanding the new creation, forgiveness, redemption, heavenly citizenship. You guys hear all this stuff, and a lot of you are in personal Bible studies, group Bible studies. You get this stuff multiple times a week. But if you're sitting there today and feel like your faith is wavering or you haven't overcome the obstacles in your life, you have to back up to your identity. Is God enough? Is His mercy, His friendship, His help, His grace, and His love, is it enough for you to have faith, hope, and love in this life? And if you can renew your mind, remove the negative thoughts and fix it firmly. God is enough. The rest of this stuff starts to line out. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hit a couple things here. Verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You once were not a people, but now you are. the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Who are you in Christ? You're somebody that God chooses. Pretty cool, huh? You always dreaded the playground kickball game, right? Who's got first pick? Who's got second pick? It was always so terrible to be picked last. Or to see people go in front of you who you know you're better than. Oh, he only picked them because, you know, they're friends. All the justifications and excuses come in. Maybe you're just not as good as you think you are, you know. Nobody wants to be picked last. But here's the know who you are in Christ identity picture. Maybe you didn't get invited to the birthday party. Maybe you missed the barbecue. I don't know. I have been and not been invited to lots of things. Should it derail you? Because God said you're a chosen race. He chooses you. He stood on the playground, looked out, and said, I choose you. And knowing who you are in Christ is knowing that that choosing is enough. And that what anyone else would choose is a reflection of them and their values and not your worth. You guys see that? Stop being so easily derailed by the thoughts and opinions. And guys, we're just playing kickball. So you're not the best kickball player. Who cares? Maybe Bob picked Sally because he just doesn't like you and he likes her. Does it matter? Should it ruin your day? Should you slander Bob or gossip about Sally? If you're doing those things, your identity is not in Christ. It is in yourself or at best in others. You guys see the picture? If God choosing you is enough, and he says we have confidence, the scripture says. Don't you want confidence? You tired of walking around unsure or unwanted or disapproved? Like, he says, when you get this identity picture right, we have confidence before God. Our confidence through Christ towards God. Because Bolton might not pick me first to play basketball. And I can't let it derail me because God has chosen me. And his choosing is the only one that matters. Amen? Okay. Of course, God has redeemed us. We talked about that a little bit last week. The idea that you're rotting in this cell of your own making and sin. And there's only one person who can save you from that. And at the end of the day, everyone else is looking out for themselves. And here comes Jesus. The one who didn't make a mess, has never sinned, and he lets you out and redeems you by becoming the curse for you, Galatians says. That he took the curse of the law, which is the payment of death for sins. He took that for you. But you can't talk about identity without talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go there. I want to focus on verse 20. We'll read verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We understand that we are new creations. I want to cover this in a slightly different light later. Jump down to verse 20. Who are you in Christ? He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. God is making his appeal through you to the brethren and the world. Reconciliation is the name of the game. Sheep ever go astray? Reconciliation is the name of the game. Is the world without God? Reconciliation is the name. We are ambassadors. And we understand what that means. I was thinking about this a little bit more. And when I worked for Texas Roadhouse, oh boy, how do you condense this? Every once in a while, stores would have to fire the manager or the kitchen managers. Food costs would be out of control or labor's through the roof. So they would send me. I spent a lot of time primarily in Idaho and in Alaska. Now, I had been in Indiana, Kentucky, Utah. But I spent a ton of time in Idaho, particularly working with some of those stores along the highway. And I took two trips to Alaska, both to Anchorage, both 2 weeks long. One time when there was sun, if you could call it that, and then one time when there was no sun at all. That was pretty cool. Anchorage is an interesting place. A few of you have been there. But here's the one thing that I remember when I'm reflecting on that. I knew, like, my entire identity, my entire picture of what I was doing there was, I'm here, I don't plan on staying. I looked around, I'm really glad I'm not staying. Okay? The depression rate in Anchorage is higher than any other place in the country. Okay? You get there, it costs $2,000 to leave, so you're stuck if you're broke. There's no sunlight, so everybody just drinks themselves to death. Okay? So it's kind of a depressing place. So I get there, and it was very obvious from the beginning that I'm not staying here. I'm just to help, and I represent the views and practices of a successful Texas Roadhouse. Isn't that what we're doing? My interactions with people were solely focused around this idea that I just represent a running successful kitchen and I'm here to help you. I'm not staying. I'll do everything I can. And when it's time, I'm going to leave. Are we not ambassadors? Is this our home? Are you staying here? Are you glad that you are not staying here? Are you glad that you are not staying here? Man. Mayonnaise, it's getting bad around there. But your interaction should be shaped by this idea that you represent a different kingdom. One that works. We are ambassadors. We know that we are forgiven. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Hey, knowing who you are in Christ, he chose you, right? Like first on the kickball field. And his choosing is enough. We talked about that. But in order to do that, in accordance with righteousness, he had to buy you with his own blood. You cannot stress that enough. Why would you ever skip the assembly? Willingly, forsakingly, knowing that you could have been here, but just chose not to for whatever reason. Willingly, like the scripture says, not because like your boss is scheduling you on Sundays, right? Like knowing you could have been, but you just decided not to. Because he said, it's the blood of that sacrifice that not only cleanses you and gives you salvation and is covering your door, he says, this is where you come to remember that. When your identity, like, yes, he chose you. And then where you are not adequate, he has filled that adequacy gap up with himself living in you to make you holy and blameless. And he didn't just choose you. He had to go die first, shed his blood just so he could purchase you. You know, I was filling up the old car at the Costco yesterday. The coolest looking Corvette I have ever seen in my life pulled up next to me. And I was looking around. Every single one of us were staring at this car. And the other guy's like, the gal behind me's like, oh. You know. I mean, I almost walked up to him and said, you got to show me what this thing looks like on the inside. But the thought that I had was what? You know, and he's in his 60s, just, you know, by looking at the outside. Probably saved up his entire life to buy that car, to live that experience, to drive it around, and to enjoy it. And And that's great if he likes it. That's awesome. Maybe some of you want a Corvette and you're going to get one. Great. Everything you do, to the glory of God, right? This guy saves up his entire life to buy $100,000. Well, maybe not that much. I don't know these days. Jesus didn't save up money for like 40 years, right? It took his blood to buy you. You could put a $1 billion price tag on the car and it still doesn't even come close to what Jesus paid for you. Identity, right? He's got to be enough. And if you can renew your mind and tell yourself, God, you're enough, then everything else around you starts to make more sense in the light of God's plan. The world never makes sense. It's wacky and upside down. Just leave you. We'll go to Colossians. You know, I hope the message has tones of seriousness, but also encouraging. Hopefully it's helped your mindset a little bit. I can't help but feel a little discouraged. There's just so much more that needs to be said. But I'm going to stick to the plan. I've already skipped so many verses, you guys. Just running around in this head. But I want us to end in Colossians chapter 3, and I want to tell you a story. So I'm getting ready this morning, and you got to understand that I do prefer salty over sweet. There are two sweet things that I like. I do like Mountain Dew, and I do like those Reese's peanut butter sticks. The sticks only, okay? I mean, I'll eat a peanut butter cup, okay? But you're not really going to get me excited about cake and pie and candy. You know, I'd just rather take a bag of potato chips. The sweet things I do like is going to be the Reese's sticks. So I had a pretty busy day yesterday. And I just got up at 8:30, jumped in the car, went to Town Pump, and bought me one because I wanted one. And it's just been forever. Fast forward to this morning. I never completely closed my door. I don't know why I don't. Ethan goes, knocks on the door. Yes, son. He goes, Dad, can I have the rest of this? And takes the wrapper and puts it through the crack in the doorway. Can I, you know, because he's not coming in, because you don't just come in my room. And I look at him like, dude, I can promise you I ate it all last night. And he goes, no, Dad, I'm talking about the crumbs. I'm pretty sure I ate those too, son. I said, go for it. Colossians chapter 3, I'll come back to that here in a minute. Verse 3. You want to know who you are in Christ? Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. You have died. When did you die, the Bible say? In your immersion. You have died and been buried with Christ. You want to know who you are in the Lord? He says, you did. He says, you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You want to know who you are? Know Jesus. This is where Kevin's right. Know Jesus. Followed by know who you are in Jesus. And then know your purpose. Who are you? It's hidden. You want to figure out who you really are? You have to know Christ. In that context, you jump down here. And in verse 10, he says, put on the new self. There's the new creation, right? Who is being renewed. Renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. All right, so Bob didn't pick you on the soccer field. And there's favoritism being played. Renew your mind. In accordance with true knowledge, not your paradigm, not your perspective of what you think happened, which, newsflash, we're usually wrong. We're clouded by our own prejudices and biases. Trust me. Renew to a true knowledge. Who are you? It's in accordance with the image of the one who made you. You want to know who you are? Know Jesus. Because that's who you are. That's where your life has been hidden. It should be your full identity. What does Ethan have to do with it? I just couldn't help but think. Like, this kid just wants the crumbs that are left over from his father's goodies, right? How about us? What is it that we really want? Shouldn't we want anything left that comes from Christ? Or what about his fullness? That's God. We've got to look at God and our identity and who we are. And we got to look at it like Reese's peanut butter sticks, where they are so valuable that we'll ask for the crumbs. You guys see the picture? And we go after Christ with that kind of desire. Your identity will take shape. You'll know your purpose. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, you know, it is such a great thing that we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. It's a great message of love and mercy that you released us from the curse of the law, becoming the curse for us and dying on the tree. And you shed your blood so that we might be saved. But the great thing about that is that's not the full message of the gospel. The fullness of the gospel, Colossians would say, includes the mystery which is Christ in you. So you didn't stop there, but then again, you took that blood and you used it to buy us. You chose us. You have made us adequate. You have given us the ability to go out and to do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And the reality is there's struggles and challenges along the way. Maybe we're filled with depressing thoughts, anxiety, anger. Maybe we've been unwilling to forgive and we're judgmental of other people and we blame everyone else. And those things are there. Nobody said you can't find them. But what people fail to do is see their role and their part. This life's hard. And then on top of it, people are just mean. And sometimes these things derail us. I thank you, Lord God, that you have given us a message and an understanding of who we really are in you. And that if we will renew our mind to that picture, according to the true knowledge, the true image of the one who created us, we can have confidence. Not fear, anxiety, depression, confidence. And I know the brethren would agree. How precious is that confidence that we have in Christ towards you. Thank you that this is available and possible. It is all because of you. And it is you that we give the glory, Lord Jesus, and pray. Amen. I am excited.